Hi, everyone. I'm Robin Smith with the Viral Volley Podcast, and on screen with me, or if you're just listening, is the USA Women's National Team setter, Lauren Carlini, four-time All-American. Yep. Second team her first year, but three first-team All-American awards in her career at Wisconsin. The former Badger joins me from Istanbul, Turkey, and she is wanting to just share a little bit what's going on. But I have to dive into the recent news. We chatted a little bit about it, but you know, your team was in second place. I asked you about coming on this weekend. You drop a 0-3 match. And I feel bad to have to talk about, but we got to find out what's going on. What's current, what's happening with your team right now, and what happened in the performance this last weekend?
Man, it has been a whirlwind of a season. Honestly, the whole, I think, MO of the season is going to be you've got to roll with the punches. You're playing every 3 days. You have got to play a match, get a little bit of recovery in, reset, focus on the next team, and play. So it's like back to back to back. I think our coach did the math, and we play like 30-something matches before December. It's pretty crazy the amount of volleyball we're playing and trying to get in through the season. Our season is ending in March this year, so really packing a lot in. But, yeah, I mean, we had a bad match. Everyone is kind of acting like, you know, Chicken Little – and the sky is falling, but guess what? It's the way of the world right now. It's okay. We lost, and we lost bad. Yeah. We didn't pay attention to our scouting report. Our staff does a really good job of prepping us for things, and we honestly just didn't execute. Yeshlier played really well, and we played, as our coach would say, tragically. And it was hard in the moment, but then I was watching a show today. I was talking about how you learn more from the losses than you do from the wins, right? And so just trying to get back into practice, flip the switch quick, and knowing we have another match to get after tomorrow. So, yeah, didn't play our best volleyball, but that's kind of the MO this season. Get back on the horse and focus on the next one.
Well, it seems that your team definitely has the potential to upset some things with the traditional powerhouses in Turkey. And we know that's a very talented league. I mean, between Dali Santana, who's on the Puerto Rican national team, played at USC. You got a fellow American, Maddie Kingdon, U of A, also an outside hitter for you. And then you have two Turkish national team members. Actually, probably more than that. I just know the two because when they came to VNL a couple years ago, Ebru Karakurt, who's your opposite, and Shema Ershan, who's an outside for you. You got some loaded talent out there. Can you talk a little bit about team?
Yeah. We were actually talking today about, you know, what type of team do we want to be? And of course, THY, Turkish Airlines, we're not seen as, the top three powerhouse teams that you're talking about. And so our goal this year is to kind of upset the balance a little bit and throw the wrench in there and say, hey, we may not be the most physical team. We may not be the biggest team, but we scout really well. We prepare really well. And we find ways to win within our system. And so what is our system? We run a fast offense. We have a lot of outlets available to us. We pass really well. And on a good day, we're going to block a lot of balls. Up until this last match, we were actually leading Europe in blocks per set. Fun fact. Yeah. So it's about doing what we can in our system, knowing that, yes, we don't have players who are getting paid $500,000, $1 million to just go bang balls. We have to find other ways to win. I know. I'm sorry to break everyone's hearts, but I'm not over here getting paid super big bank. So I just got to find other ways to win, right? In different avenues. So, but it's been really fun not knowing we are – kind of the underdogs, but at the same time, knowing that we want to be in one of those top three positions and going into playoffs at the end of the season. So it's been really fun trying to figure out. And now it's just got to be pedal to the metal and grind it out at least until December.
So you're playing matches every 3 days through March?
Every 3 days. So as of now, we're playing every 3 days up until, I want to say maybe middle, end of November. But then given in middle of November, we have back-to-back days. We're playing in CEV Challenge Cup. And so it's really going all the way up until December. And then come December 20th, I think is our last match until January 17th. And then come January 17th, it's that same thing every couple of days. Playoffs start in middle of February this year. So between that and our schedule always changing, because if a team gets COVID, they're not allowed to play until they have a certain amount of negative cases. And then the Federation is just throwing those teams back into the mix. So you may only have one game a week, but then all of a sudden this team comes back that you're supposed to play, who coming back from COVID, they'll just throw that match in there. And then what do you know? Again, roll with the punches.
Yeah. Wow. Now, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was one of my questions is, late September, one of the top teams, six players or six people in their organization tested positive for COVID. Now, how's it been like trying to deal with the fluidity and the flexibility of the schedule, especially with that being one of the teams that was one of the top three? You know, has it been kind of crazy and chaotic trying to roll with the punches, as you've been saying?
For sure. And, you know, the team we're talking about is Vakif, and the team that's supposed to win the league and possibly winning a Champions League title, one of the best teams in the world. And got COVID, and now it's a matter of their players are just now starting to test negative, and they have a match tomorrow. And so, but have they been able to practice together? No, they're just getting back from being in quarantine and not working out for 2 weeks. And so that's just part of it. I think that's the best decision for the team's health and players' health? Absolutely not. But that's the Federation and the league and what they're saying. You have to play. And that again can mix up the standings and the point system. And so this season, it's really, truly about consistency, giving it your all every single night, because any team can win given the situation. And kind of like I've been reiterating, just rolling with the punches. Like, I am such a planner, so this is so hard for me, knowing like I like knowing in 3 weeks from now we're gonna have a game on a Thursday, but who knows, we may have a game on Tuesday and Thursday. So this is like my nightmare, but it's been good. It's teaching me patience and to stay just in the moment and not thinking too much about the future.
Yeah.
Can't control it.
Yeah. You definitely got to stay in the moment during these times for sure.
It's tough. It's tough.
Well, you know, I've been observing, like, 'cause I've been watching some foreign streams, and it's weird seeing the difference in the way that different crowds are handling sporting events, because, you know, for instance, I was watching a beach event in Latvia, no social distancing, no masks. I'm watching a Brazilian event, no fans in attendance, masks on every single person. How's it like for you in Turkey?
Yeah, in Turkey, it's been, honestly, I feel really safe here. They are really strict with everything. Everyone, you go out anywhere, everyone is wearing masks. You go to any restaurant, shop, mall, you name it, you have to get your temperature checked every single time. You have to be wearing a mask. And then on every single table, or located around the mall, whatever it is, hand sanitizer. And so just they're implementing a lot of things. I know they have an app here also. It like pretty much is a heat map of positive COVID cases versus not. It's so like
stay
a little
away from these
creepy
areas app.
It's like, yeah, it's like where we are at, great. On the Asian side, kind of in the southern near the sea, great. And then you like cross the bridge 30 minutes that way and it is like deep red. So like don't go there, which kind of scares me. Like that causes mass panic, but everyone seems to be handling it fine here, so good for them. I would probably not download it because it caused panic.
High anxiety for you.
But honestly, it's been good. Kind of the same thing too, you know, you find out someone that had dinner with someone else 3 days ago tested positive, and then everyone on the team has to go and get tested again. So the amount of COVID tests I've had is unbelievable. I think I've lost count by now, but just doing the best we can to stay with it. And, you know,
I'm curious, are they doing nasal swabs? Or are they taking blood each time?
So blood we did at the beginning of the season. And then now it's just, they actually do both here. So they like shove it down your throat first, like a strep throat test. And then they like mix it in some liquid and then they like shove it up your nostril.
Awesome.
So it's like double the viral load they're catching. So they've been pretty good about catching cases, I would say.
Wow.
It's a fun time.
I'm sure all the teammates love it.
It's our favorite time of the week. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how about like during the sporting events themselves? I haven't been able to watch a stream.
So it's only guest lists allowed. So we are only allowed one guest to come to the games. And then when they come to the games, they get their temperature checked. They have to be wearing masks and they're all distanced in the stands. So not many people, nothing more, I would say, than maybe 50 maximum.
Yeah.
But nothing even close to what a normal sporting event would look like.
Wow. Now, has it been frustrating? I actually kind of alluded to it in your response, but has it been a frustrating experience wise, anxiety wise, trying to figure out? I imagine you don't have to travel that far because it sounds like there's a few teams in Istanbul, but is it frustrating trying to plan your trainings and your schedule?
Yeah, luckily, honestly, it hasn't been that bad. So the teams that are in Istanbul, we all play pretty much in the same gym where we train, luckily. So I would say 75% of the games are played in our home gym where we train, practice, and play matches. Great. Then there's a couple of those games we have to travel to Ankara. And those we stay in the hotel. And again, more stringent with rules. And even we stay at the one hotel and you go in and your bag gets like sprayed on by the guy before you even enter the hotel. I was like, I don't know what you're actually spraying on here, but it looks good. Good job. They're doing all they can. I know. A lemon would be great. Thank you. So yeah, doing the best everyone can. That's for sure.
Right. Now, how are you approaching this uncertainty though, as far as playing professionally and abroad?
Yeah. You know, I don't feel quite as nervous. I just feel like it's a different season and it's a different experience. And I'm learning a lot of different things. Than I would have in previous years. It's about, luckily, I really invested in myself and I have some friends that work at, you know, Hype Rise and Normatec and things like that. So I'm taking so much pride in my recovery right now with playing every 3 days, and our coach likes to practice a lot. And so it's about, okay, what can I do in order to best prepare myself for tomorrow's training or this afternoon's training or this next match? Right. So taking care of my body, taking care of my mind. When I leave the gym, my mind needs to leave the gym too, because we're just playing so much volleyball. And if you start worrying about your play and your health and your recovery, there's just too much.
Yeah.
So when I'm in the gym, I'm in the gym. I'm 100% focused and locked in. When I leave the gym, I'm about recovery, relaxing, and just not thinking about volleyball, honestly. So that's been a little different than previous years. And then health-wise, it has been great. Actually, during the Vakif game, I woke up that morning and I had the stomach flu.
Oh no.
And it was so bad. I went to the hospital 3 days in a row to get IVs and fluids, just to get something back into my system. No, because I actually had already had COVID.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Plot twist.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What? Okay. I got to ask when that happened then.
Yeah. So I got COVID in June, end of June. I got it when I was in California training. Everyone else was fine, luckily, but it was just one friend I was out with for dinner and she ended up testing positive. I tested positive after that and then ended up quarantining for the 10 to 14 day period. Yeah. So it kind of interrupted my training with the national team, which was super unfortunate, just the timing. But at the same time, I feel a little better that I kind of got it and got it out of the way. And I had minimal symptoms. Like really, good. I didn't think I had it and found out I tested positive for it.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, I'm not so worried.
Right.
Just because I have some antibodies and something to protect me from it, but I still take all the precautions and very careful with it. So
yeah, people trying to take your antibodies now. They're trying to take you out, knock you out, and take your antibodies.
Exactly. So between, you know, getting that in June and July and then getting the stomach flu, what was this, week and a half ago, going to the hospital, and we were actually traveling to Ankara the next day. And I mean, I couldn't even get through a practice. It was before the match and I was in the hospital for Ilbank. I was in the hospital, like getting IVs and sleeping as much as I could just so that I could play the match. Cause that was like a must win for us.
Oh, wow.
So
you already have a must win match situation.
Yeah, it's pretty much take care of the teams that you have to take care of, and then let's give it our absolute all versus the three powerhouses. That's kind of like the mentality going into this season and this league.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so quite a few experiences, and I had a little bomb, a mic dropper there too, but hey.
I know, sorry, and I just rambled too. People are like, get on with it, Lauren, shush.
Well, hey, I think that's a good place to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit more of when the pandemic first broke out, but if you're just joining us or watching, this is Lauren Carlini, the USA Women's National Team, four-time All-American at University of Wisconsin, here from Istanbul, Turkey. Hey, welcome back, fans. You're watching the or listening to the Viral Volley Podcast, and on screen with me or on the digital bandwidth, we've got Lauren Carlini, USA Women's National Team center. Finds her home from Aurora, Illinois. Yep, I checked it out. I've been studying her. The last few years, she's been with the USA Women's National Team at VNL and kicking it in SoCal. But hey, thanks for joining me again here on the podcast. And, you know, we've talked about where you're at in Turkey playing and then the breakout of the pandemic. But I wanted to get more into a few months ago when the pandemic first broke out in March.
Yeah.
But where were you in the news of the coronavirus first broke out?
Yeah. So when the news of that corona was coming, I was in Moscow, Russia, and we were about to finish our regular season play and start playoffs. I think we had three matches. I believe we were in playoffs. I think we had like three matches left. And pretty much it was, I mean, it was a complete shock, obviously. It came out of nowhere, but we heard about it and it was the initial thinking of, okay, it's just in China. We're fine. Ooh, okay. A couple days later, now Italy's really getting hit. And so things started escalating pretty quickly, as everyone knows. And so I was playing this waiting game, but also slowly packing my suitcase to like get ready to rumble if I needed to. And so during this, it was about a 2-week period where we were kind of playing the waiting game, getting ready to leave, but also knowing we are still in playoffs and we have to try to win these matches and not freak out. And so basically it all came to a boil is I think, believe maybe March 20th. March 18th, March 19th, we actually flew to Kazan for one of our matches.
Right.
And when we landed in Kazan, we got a text on the bus saying, oh, they canceled our match, even though we just landed.
Yeah.
And we're like, awesome. We just flew here. Now what? So we went to the hotel, ate some lunch, flew back. And then when we landed in Moscow that same exact day, they had canceled the league. They just said, okay, whatever place you're in right now, that's where you're going to finish for the season, period. And so the next day, it was that night. Yeah. My manager booked a flight and I was out, I think it was March 19th, March 20th, on a flight back to the USA because I was calling the embassy. There was a lot of possibilities of, okay, these flights are going to end in the next, whatever it was, 3-4 days, like get on a flight. If you are a foreigner, go home because there may not be any routes available. As a lot of people know, they got stuck in Italy. They got stuck in Switzerland. So lots of issues in Europe. So managed to get out the next day. They were really professional about it. But yeah, it was definitely scary and stressful and just a lot of panic going on. Honestly, the last thing you were thinking about was volleyball. It was just about getting home safe with your family.
I guess, you know, seeing all this unfold around you, what kinds of things were you seeing that was, I guess, exacerbating the anxiety or just the confusion and the chaos? And because obviously in the States, we were just like, whoa, someone tested positive at a basketball game on March 11th.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, by March 13th, everything was done. So what was the experience like for you in Russia?
You know, in Russia, I really didn't notice anything. They didn't seem panicked at all. They seemed thoroughly unperturbed by the matter. And so there was no talk of masks. There was no talk of us possibly getting coronavirus. It just seemed so far away to them. The only thing I really noticed is we always stayed in a hotel, even for our home matches. And it was right near the airport. And The hotel was pretty empty. The previous 2 weeks, there was really no one there. I noticed some, like, if I went to the grocery store, like some of the pasta and the bread, things like that were a little more out of stock. I didn't notice the toilet paper or anything like that until I got back to the United States, right, of course. And then the only other weird, just really eerie thing was I flew through JFK to get back to Chicago. So I did that flight from Moscow to JFK. When I landed in JFK, it was a ghost town. And it was
JFK.
The best word to describe it was eerie. Yeah. The only people there were the workers. And it was just really bizarre. Like, you felt like you're an I Am Legend. And it's like you, Will Smith, and the dog left. It was creepy.
Wow.
So then finally landed in Chicago. And again, just wearing, you know, the mask and having hand sanitizer and everything, because you didn't really know what this virus did at the time.
Right.
So yeah, got home and people were recommending to not go back to your parents' house. But for me, I felt more comfortable just being with my family and just kind of taking any precautions if I felt sick, but I was fine at that time.
I have to give you props on that I Am Legend movie reference, the Will Smith.
Thank you. Just like walking through New York City and it's just no one. Like, that's how I felt with my two big suitcases going back to Chicago.
Only two suitcases, huh? Good for you.
Yeah, but they're like big mama suitcases. Like, you could fit extremely large humans in there. So don't give me too much credit.
Now, looking at your personal response to virtually the world shutting down, what did you go through once making it back to the States?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't take a break when I got home. I like immediately started at home workouts, and I was still preparing for the fact that the Olympics were going to happen. And I was trying to be one of those 12 on the roster and just being my best for Team USA, because nothing had really changed yet. Nothing had been canceled. Nothing had been postponed. So it was just hoping it was going to blow over. And little did we know, here we are in October and things are still equally as bad. But no, it really was still just pedal to the metal and having that tunnel vision and just focusing on moving forward. But it was also, honestly, I was home in Chicago for about a month, which is the longest I've been home combined for years on end.
Right.
And most people would have thought like, oh my God, I'm going crazy. But it was so great to just reconnect with your family and, you know, your immediate family. And yes, you're on top of each other all the time and everyone's in the same little house and no one can leave. But it was really great just to like reconnect and be with everyone, because we don't get that quality time anymore, especially with me being overseas. So it was actually a really good time.
Well, let's transition over to Olympic stuff. In August 2019, last time I saw you, you and the team put a really incredible performance at the Tokyo Olympic qualifier in Bossier City, Shreveport, against Kazakhstan, Argentina, and Bulgaria. What are your thoughts on the direction of the USA team going into now the 2021 Tokyo Olympics?
Yeah, I think, you know, I almost like that the Olympics were postponed. I know a lot of people would probably disagree with me, and that's okay. But I think a lot of the other teams who are qualified for the Olympics, they're older, they're very experienced, they've been at this a long time. So 1 year can really make or break their body. And playing another professional season for a lot of them is a big ask. Whereas with us, we're a young team in the grand scheme of world volleyball. And so for us and our players being able to get another year of experience and training in, I think is going to benefit us going into 2021. At least that is my perspective and how I'm choosing to think about it. Because yes, you can go into it thinking, oh, I could have been, you know, these players who could have retired in 2020, now I would have been done and starting a family.
Right.
Okay, let's flip the switch and let's think about this from a different perspective and try to make a positive out of it. So that's kind of how I'm deciding to go about it. And I think our team has done a really good job of just building on what we can this summer. We have had fantastic Zoom meetings and talks. And when I was in the gym with some of the girls, it was good just to get in there and kind of get a feel for where everyone is at. So promising, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to 2021 and getting back with Team USA.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not on the inner circle of Karch's crew and USA Volleyball, but to my knowledge, a roster has not been determined for 2021. And I wanted to speak a little bit on the depth of talent on the team, or the quality of players that are available out there. I mean, even at the center position, there's between yourself, Jordan Poulter, Micah Hancock, and I'm sure there's other people that are in that mix, because Karch always has his eye open. And then at each position, there's so much depth. What are your thoughts on the quality of the team that can potentially come out and compete for a medal?
Yeah, I mean, we can be absolutely deadly, because I know we have all had just such a great mentality going into quarantine, coming out of quarantine, going to our professional teams and knowing what our ultimate goal is. And kind of like you said, the depth that we have, it's incredible. But I think the more important thing is that whoever is chosen as the 12, of course, it's an honor. It's an amazing thing to be able to represent your country and Team USA. But the girls who don't make it were just as important to our mission and our goal, because they're the ones pushing everyone every single day. So yes, 12 get to represent us, but it's the 28 to 30 girls in the gym, plus the staff, plus all of our support staff, who will help us get to where we want to be and who have helped us get to where we are already. So it's really incredible, but, and it makes you work hard. I mean, you know that people are nipping at you and wanting your position, or you want to get to this next position. And so it's a great, great, great motivator, and really pushes you every day in the gym, whether you're with your teammates or not.
Yeah. Especially see like during the Tokyo Olympic qualifier, there are new faces in the gym. It's like, whoa. Did something happen? But you realize that there's so much talent, and Karch can just pull out of any toolbox and put someone on the floor.
For sure. For sure. And it's about, you know, and kind of like you're talking, last time anyone has competed together with Team USA, 2019. By the time we roll around and April 2021, May 2021 comes around, that's history. Like, you are a completely different player than you were 2 years ago. And so it's going to be really interesting getting back in the gym and hitting the ground running, because there's not much time to kind of mesh and figure everything out. It's going to be a hard time picking 12. I feel, I feel bad for Karch and the staff.
It's such a sad thing that someone is going to get snubbed, and that's just the nature of the system, because there's so much talent. But now in 2020, we obviously saw the cancellation of the only domestic play for Team USA in the United States, events like the red versus blue scrimmages, FIVB Volleyball Nations League, and even some NORSECA competition. And I know a lot of the USA athletes really look forward to that time to compete in the States, because they get to play on home soil in front of their friends and family, and they actually get time to reconnect with people. What were your thoughts on missing this opportunity this last few months?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's always tough, because it's the one time that almost all of your family and friends are able to come and see you and watch you and see you at a normal time of day. Because now, even when we play, it's like 3 p.m. and it's like 5 a.m. at home. They're like setting their alarms, getting their cup of coffee to watch a match. But you know, when we're in the States, it's okay, we're on NBC Sports, or they can come and fly and see us, and just incredible opportunities. And I'm a little jealous of, again, leagues like this in Turkey, where, you know, your friends and family can come and watch every match or see each other. You know, on TV, but it's a bummer. Hopefully nothing changes going into 2021. Hopefully we'll still have the same opportunities to have our friends and family see us, have our fans come and see us and interact with us, and interact, less than 6 feet, hopefully. And, just really get that connection, because it's so special for us. And especially when we were in Shreveport, Louisiana, that was incredible. Just being able to go see fans and all the signs done for us and people watching from home and commenting about it. So incredible experience. And hopefully come 2021, we still get some of those opportunities.
Well, I've got my dates in the calendar for VNL here in the States. So
yes,
hoping that all works out.
Yes. Oh my God. Fingers crossed, please.
Hey, so I happened to catch a podcast that you are on, Behind the Badgers, in April of 2020. The title is very eye-catching for me, because I think it personally reveals your passion for the game. It says the title of it is Lauren Carlini on Tears, Triumph, and Becoming the Face of Team USA. Can you share with us what those tears and triumphs were during these last few months, if not the year?
Yeah, I think the tears 1000% come from learning that the Olympics were postponed. And it kind of alludes back to earlier what I was saying and feeling like I put myself in a really good position to be one of the 12 and compete for a spot there. And then just finding something that I've worked for since the seventh grade, at least, to have that taken away and kind of wait another year. It's just, it's tough to accept and move on from, but again, it's about moving forward and rolling with the punches. Yeah. And I don't know if I talk about it in that podcast or not, but the same thing kind of happened to me in 2010. Mm-hmm. Selected to be on the first ever Youth Olympic team that was supposed to take place in Singapore. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like 2 weeks before we were supposed to leave for these Youth Olympics.
Right.
And they go, oh, we messed up. We have to take girls who are 2 years older than you guys.
Oh, wow.
So we got the chance, this Youth Olympic team that was selected for the inaugural Youth Olympics, mm-hmm. we got that taken away from us because they messed up the birth dates and the age of the girls. Fast forward 10 years, COVID comes, messes everything up. So I've had enough of this. All right, 2021, this needs to be the year.
This is going to be the year for you right here.
We're going to triumph through this and we're going to get to 2021.
Now, how about some of the triumphs though? Obviously, as you shared about some of the tears that were shed, but what about the triumphs of this last year?
Triumphs of this last year. Oh my gosh. It's just
besides being on this podcast. I know that's up there, but
I mean, this is number one. I mean, this is literally the highlight of my year so far. So, you know, I think it's really just been about the strength that I've felt in myself and my work ethic. And I know a lot of people, it's been really tough during, especially quarantine and not being able to see friends and extended family. And I never have lost sight of what my ultimate goal is because I love volleyball more than anything in this world. And I have worked to hopefully become an Olympian for whatever it is, almost 20 years now. And so it's the work ethic and the passion and everything that I put into it, it hasn't stopped given the situation of COVID. And, you know, even though all these obstacles have been thrown in the way, okay, I'm going to take it. I'm going to roll with it. And we're moving forward. I'm finding ways to get better. And so that may not be a super solid answer, but kind of just my mentality and my work ethic still going through quarantine and finding ways to get better through this super weird, crazy time.
Well, that's a great answer. It's very open-ended. I want you to run with it. So almost like your roll with the punches type mentality
yes.
that you've been mentioning quite often. But you did mention that your dream to play in the Olympics began when you were in seventh grade. Is that when you first started playing volleyball or did you start playing volleyball and then conceive that dream to be an Olympian?
No, Rob, I started playing volleyball out of the womb. I think I actually had hands in my mom's womb like this.
No, you were swinging. You thought you were being opposite and like you realized you had better hands. So you became a setter.
Exactly. No. So I played volleyball since I was 5-6 years old is when I started club, played club for 11 years.
Wow.
And it was in the seventh grade. I was at a high performance tryout. And the head coach actually now at Ohio State, Jen Flynn Oldenburg, she was one of my coaches. Uh-huh. And we were going around the circle at this high performance thing. She goes, why don't you guys play volleyball? Like, what's your purpose? You know, what's your end goal here? And the girls are, you know, oh God, I would love to make my high school team. Oh, no, you know, I wanted to get a scholarship to college or, you know, I want to get a full ride scholarship, whatever it was. Everyone's going around the circle, making all these little, you know, dreams and goals. And I go, you know, I want to be an Olympian one day. And of course the next three girls after me, wait, I want to be an Olympian too. I want to play on the USA team.
Yeah.
But it was in that moment when I first vocalized it and verbalized this and said, no, I want to be an Olympian. I am going to be an Olympian. And so since that moment, I drew a picture of myself and my little number 7 jersey, Team USA, and kind of manifestation since then and just been
with
working
an Adidas
at it
logo
knowing,
on it, right?
You know, I think I missed that part. At the time, it was Mizuno. No, sorry, Adidas, I love you.
You draw it on there with Adidas now.
Three-stripe life, exactly. Three-stripe life now. And no, it was just, it's all about manifestation and working towards your dreams and goals. And if you can dream it and believe it, you can do it. Period. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Well,
from one of the most photogenic Adidas models, Three Stripe Life, Lauren Carlini, you know, can't beat it.
That's me.
Let's move into more of the personal stuff here. That's more of the lighthearted stuff. We've talked about some pretty heavy content here, but let's lighten it up. Professionally, you spent 2 years in Italy, then one in Russia, now in Turkey. What are you discovering or learning from your international travels about yourself?
It is certainly not my willingness to learn languages. certainly not that. I am definitely way more open to trying foods now. Like I could literally, I think I need to start a food podcast because that's all I think about all day, every day. It may be a problem. and I also realized one thing I've learned about myself, how important my home is and my space that I come to. It's like my sanctuary. Every single night I have candles lit. I have to have it smelling a certain way, looking nice and clean. I just feel like if I'm happy at home, I'm going to be happy going into the gym. I can't come back to some pigsty and it's smelling like, you know, 3 days ago tacos. It's just not going to work for me.
That's so good. All right, here you go. Here's one I've been waiting to ask you. According to the Behind the Badgers podcast, your Russian was limited to numbers 1 through 6 and hello and goodbye. How's your Turkish?
Oh my God. I know merhaba, which is hello. Pardon. What else can I get you? Teşekkürler, thank you. I don't think I even said that right. And, I got a good one for you. The check, please. Hesap lütfen.
What? Say that again?
Hesap lütfen.
That almost sounds like you're hitting on someone.
I know. Well, I'm going for that. I am in the market, so I'll start yelling, Hesap lütfen, to like random guys on the street.
That's actually a really good phrase to know. Because you're going to be thrown in a Turkish prison, I've heard.
The girls are actually like, okay, this is a little scary, but they're like, maybe when you're in your car driving somewhere, they do like random traffic checkpoints and stuff on the highway and on the streets. So they're like, just always have some Turkish Airlines stuff with you in case you get pulled over, whatever. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
They're like, well, like sometimes they can say you're doing something wrong and fine you or ask you for money, even though it may not be technically illegal. Like now they're saying when you're driving in your car, you have to have an extra mask and hand sanitizer on you. And if you don't, then you get fined. But they're like, if you have a nice jacket on with, you know, Turkish Airlines and big sponsor and you play a sport, you may be able to get off a little easier than most.
Or you can say you're saying, you know, check please. And they'll think you're hitting on them too.
Hey, ASAP, Lutan. Did that sound nice? Will that get me out of a ticket?
So good. Oh, gosh. You also mentioned that aforementioned podcast that you were really into Russian techno electronic music. And I know that you...
No way I said that.
Well, that's what, I said it sarcastically because I remember hearing the response like, wow, tell us how you really feel.
Absolutely not. I will get down with some Turkish jams, I will say. But even then, they love listening to our American music. So I think Americans, we got our music down. We're a hit worldwide. Musically.
Well, besides the Russian techno electronic, what kinds of jams are you listening to get ready for matches, if at all?
You know, it kind of changes. Sometimes I need to be super calm. I get like too hyped up. So I'll listen to some country. Luke Combs is my man.
Oh,
Morgan
nice.
Wallen, mix him in there. Like it depends where I need to be. But if I need like to get pumped up, I, you know, haven't had my cup of coffee yet. I'm listening to Travis Scott. The baby, like I'm listening to the ratchet stuff. So I can really swing from one end of the spectrum to the next. Depends on the day.
Shows how diverse you are and how adaptable
diverse.
You are.
I try. Hey, Sap Lutfen.
All right. I'm going to give you an opportunity here because as the world slowly begins to open up again, what words of encouragement do you have for our listeners and our viewers?
Yes. Gosh, okay, isn't this a relief that our world is starting to slowly open up again and we're able to see people in person and interact and kind of get back to, I guess, a routine and just normal life. And of course, it's going to take a while to get there, but I think the biggest thing is just don't lose sight of your end goal and your ultimate dreams. right now it can be tough. People are losing jobs. People are getting furloughed. Things are happening. But we're all kind of in the same boat right now. We're all just doing our best. Right. So whatever you do, don't give up. Just keep working towards it. Keep communicating, because as humans, we need that. We need that interaction, whether it's on the phone or FaceTime, calling your grandma. Okay. She appreciates it. She misses you. Like, just keep reaching out to people and doing the best you can for others. We're all going to come out on the other side of this. So stay positive, keep working towards it. Hopefully the light is at the end of the tunnel, and we're all going to be back on the court and, you know, having you guys cheering for us, you know, going into Tokyo, and, you know, just all the positive thoughts and vibes.
Boom. There's a mic drop right there from the Sage Center coming from us from Istanbul, Turkey. That's Lauren Carlini of the USA Women's National Team, former four-time All-American at University of Wisconsin. Lauren, can't thank you enough for coming on, especially with the time difference. And, you know, just always great chatting with you whenever I can see in person, but we'll have to deal with Zoom up until you're back in the States, because we are going to be back in doing this again.
We sure will. Appreciate you.
Thanks again.